Welcome to the official podcast of the Hoffeld Group. Your host is the CEO and Chief Sales Trainer of the Hoffeld Group, David Hoffeld.
Welcome to the official podcast of the Hoffeld Group, where we provide you with powerful sales insights that are based upon proven science and will help you sell more. I'm your host, the CEO and Chief Sales Trainer at the Hoffeld Group, David Hoffeld. Today, we are going to discuss a very important topic for anyone in sales. As a salesperson, you are a professional persuader. Your job is to guide your prospects in taking what you say seriously and acting upon it. Yet, when does selling cross over from persuading and influencing to manipulation? In fact, what is the difference between persuasion and manipulation? That is the question we will answer today. The difference between persuasion and manipulation has been a subject of debate for literally thousands of years. In ancient Greece, during the 4th century BC, the father of persuasion, Aristotle, opposed the group of teachers known as the Sophists. The Sophists provided instruction in various disciplines, but they became infamous for their teaching of rhetoric. Aristotle clashed with the Sophists over the fact that they didn't care about truth, but would promote any idea for a fee. Aristotle asserted that the Sophists were engaging in manipulation because they intentionally deceived people and caused harm. Today, the debate between persuasion and manipulation rages on. In fact, many confess they have a hard time distinguishing between the two. To accurately discern the difference between persuasion and manipulation, it's essential to understand the ethics that undergird persuasion. Now, there are some communication theorists who have asserted that persuasion is ethically neutral. That is to say that persuasion is neither good nor bad, but merely an impartial process. However, I don't accept that position. I would contend that the Aristotelian viewpoint, that persuasion is not neutral but noble, is correct. Aristotle stressed that persuasion is inherently good because it is one of the primary means through which truth becomes known. Through the persuasive method, an idea is put forth with evidence, and a person is allowed to freely choose to either accept or reject that persuasive appeal. The belief that persuasion is an honorable and effective means in arriving at truth is seen by the fact that it is the basis for modern economics, counseling practices, and the legal system. In addition, persuasion is also the foundation of democracy. As Professor Raymond Ross writes, democracies use thoughtful, ethical persuasion when they elect leaders, establish laws, or try to protect their citizens. Even those who become dismayed with the notion of persuasion can't escape it. Persuasion is ingrained within human communication. When you and I communicate, we intentionally and unintentionally promote certain beliefs and behaviors. Consequently, persuasion is not a matter of choice. It's inherent in social interaction. In fact, it is so pervasive in human communication that at times it almost becomes invisible. As Dr. Herbert W. Simons, professor at Temple University, illustrates when he wrote, "The so-called people professions, politics, law, social work, counseling, business management, advertising, sales, public relations, the ministry, might as well be called persuasion professions." At its core, persuasion is the pursuit of truth. It is through persuasion that positive change occurs. For example, persuasive messages have been scientifically proven to prompt high school students to refrain from smoking, increase life-saving blood donations, and prevent youth from joining gangs. Though the goodness of persuasion and the fact that it is embedded within human nature is not what causes people concern, what causes anxiety is the corruption of persuasion. To be sure, when persuasion is distorted, it will become manipulative, which is dangerous. Through manipulation, con artists, cult leaders, and dictators have abused, enslaved, and even massacred millions of people. However, as detrimental as manipulation is, it should never be confused with persuasion. Manipulation is the perversion of persuasion. It is not concerned with truth, but rather deceit. Consequently, the relevant question is, how can you distinguish between persuasion and manipulation? The following are three straightforward yet reliable ways that you can analyze if a message is manipulative. First, intention. Intention is a primary factor in judging whether a request is manipulative. If a person attempts to present an idea or behavior that is not in the best interest of another, they are engaging in manipulation. And sadly, this is all too common. People frequently fall into the trap of abusing others in pursuit of what they desire. One of the root causes of this Machiavellian perspective is not viewing others with equality. The renowned philosopher Immanuel Kant wrote about this mindset when he suggested that the foundational precept of morality is treating another person as a human being and not a thing. A second way to tell if a request or behavior is manipulative is, does it withhold truth? Manipulation involves distorting or withholding truth. Often this is seen through exaggerating the advantages of a behavior, idea, or product. It was this form of manipulation that prompted the phrase caveat emptor, which is Latin for buyer beware, to become prevalent. The phrase was particularly widespread during those historical periods when there was little accountability for sellers. The saying was a warning to potential buyers to be leery of those selling goods and to make sure that they verified, before making a purchase, that the quality of the product was identical to the claims made by the seller. Even today, most people have experience being told about the features or benefits of a product or service and then, after purchasing it, realize that they have been misled. This is wrong. Anything other than honest representation is always blatant manipulation. The third way to tell if something is manipulative is by coercion. Coercion is the most obvious component of manipulation. It's the removal of free choice, the ultimatum, do it or else. In contrast, persuasion involves influence but never force. As communication scholar Richard Pirloff writes, a defining characteristic of persuasion is free choice. At some level, the individual must be capable of accepting or rejecting the position that has been urged of him or her. Therefore, an invitation that one is unable to say no to is not persuasive in nature, but is coercive and accordingly manipulative. In summary, there is a vast difference between persuasion and manipulation. Persuasion advances the position of all involved. It is a pro-social endeavor that guides the receiver of a message in accepting truth. In contrast, a manipulative appeal is one that, if adopted, will negatively impact another. Manipulation is morally wrong and ultimately counterproductive to the interest of all involved. Through an accurate and robust understanding of both the rightness of persuasion and the three primary elements of manipulation, you will become better able to persuade others ethically and protect yourself from manipulative requests. Thanks for listening. I'm David Huffell, Chief Sales Trainer here at the Huffell Group, reminding you, selling is too important to be based on anything other than proven science.